So I think you got to lock a player like that up. You can't let him leave the building. He's still fresh. And I think keeping him and Josh Allen together, I think that's the future of the offense. You know, you drafted Keon. You know, you got all the puzzles put together right there. And I think he's just still scratching the surface. He's still a young back. And as you look at his numbers, they only on the rise. They steady going up. So for me, when you look at a young player and you get a young talent like that, I think you got no choice but to lock him up for the next few years and give him that comfort of you're here, you're Bill. You know, let's go keep winning.
That is Dalvin Cook on his brother James. I mean, I can respect his brother having a very bullish opinion of him. It's not like we all don't either. And so I can respect a lot of that. Numbers going up, though, is what? It's one stat that went way up. Touchdowns. It went from 2 to 16. 8x. That's pretty good. Nothing else. Do you know that? 2023 to 24, Cook, fewer carries, fewer yards. A little bit uptick in yards per carry. So that went up a little bit. Not meaningfully, I would say. Down in catches, down in receiving yards, down in receiving touchdowns. It's almost all the same thing. His fumbles went down, which is good. You don't want all the numbers to go up. Fumbles went down. But that's going to bounce from year to year. Usually does. I don't know. There's so many ways to look at this and things to say about Cook. What do you even do with the simple point about his snap share? The snap share is like a microcosm of the whole conversation with him. Because it's either, well, he scored 16 touchdowns and ran for 1,000 yards on, I think it was 44% of the snaps. Think of what will happen if he plays 50 or 60% of the snaps. Sky's the limit. It's either that, which I don't think we're going to get there. I mean, we could. It's either that angle, that perspective, or it's, man, the guy doesn't even play half the snaps, and I'm supposed to do what here? $15 million? How does that make any sense? He has been a part-time player. He's a starter, and he's been very productive. He has been a part-time player. I don't think that that's overstating it. I wouldn't always want to put it that way. But he's not a running back who just far less often comes off the field. And I think, I don't draft very much James Cook, and this is the biggest reason why. It's not that I'm scared of him sitting out games. It's that, you know, in fantasy, you want catches. 32 catches in a full season last year. He missed one game. That's 2 a game. That's not going to get me very far. I mean, it's not the worst, but it's not meaningful. 2 catches a game, 2 touchdowns during the course of a season. That was his production as a receiver last year. And it's pretty likely, I don't know why I would feel differently here, that Ty Johnson will be on the field again for the Bills this year on third down. So for me, Cook as a fantasy asset is just okay because I don't think I'm getting receiving chops here. If the guy's not going to play on third because Johnson is better in that role, and whatever else, more reliable, just better, which I think is how the Bills see it, then I'm already capped here for Cook. Then, you know, when we're talking about money, which we've been doing about this player, what about it? Like, he was called a subback when he got here by Brandon Bean, and it's still, he starts, and he had a huge season with touchdowns, but it's still a little bit true. What would you do if you were Cook? 803-0550 if you want to join me. I saw an interesting tweet. There's an account called, it's shortened because it has to be to fit, Unnecessary Sports Research. Oh, baby. If you're trying to, and you're not, if you're trying to design a Twitter account to attract me, that's what you could call it. Unnecessary Sports Research. That is right down my alley. And the tweet is, if there's a point in the year where you decide to watch things other than sports on TV, this week would be the week to do it. Yeah. We've got the Home Run Derby tonight. Summer League with the NBA. Are you into that? I mean, I'm not, I wouldn't say that I don't like the NBA, but I'm not like avid or anything close to that. I don't watch very many games. I follow it just casually. So saying that, I think the Summer League might be a really cool thing. The way Trista Crick talks about it, she's out there in, I think, anyway, she was the other day, in Vegas, and they packed houses, you know, the rookies right away. Could hockey ever? Is there any reason why hockey couldn't do that? Draft picks come into the league, and, you know, wherever it would be, would it draw? If you had, basically, if you had, like, the Sabres prospect team in September, do all the teams play at the Summer League?
Yep, they all have Summer League teams.
Wow. Do they keep standings?
I think they have, like, a tournament bracket they end up doing, but it's I mean, it's preseason stuff. I wonder if with college hockey maybe growing, now that NIL's a thing, that could maybe push it to being a bigger thing if you want the NHL to do it, because that's a big part of the Summer League is you get these college kids, you get the number one overall picks, they all go to these teams. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember, I'm not a big Summer League guy. I was so excited to watch Lonzo Ball's first game with the Lakers, his Summer League game, because there was just that, all that buildup for him.
Yeah.
Now it's Cooper Flagg, and he plays one game, and they're like, all right, we're done. He put up 30, we're done.
Yeah, like that was really hyped. Those guys are stars, you know? I mean, how many hockey players, even for hockey, come out of the draft and are stars? Like, it's one or two, basically. But the NBA, it's almost all of them. And if you're into college basketball, you kind of know who everybody is. I mean, some are from Europe and whatnot, but still, like, you kind of know who everybody is. And hockey's different like that. Plus, you need to put a whole team together, right? Well, that's true of both. Might be a little trickier for hockey, but, you know, maybe not. That's probably not a good point. I'm not pining for it. I'm just impressed. I'm impressed when a sports league can make something like that, where they're not just living off of decades or longer of, you know, history and a built-in fan base that's just so loyal to it, there's not even really any thinking involved. There's not, I hate this, but I'll still watch it. That's a little bit the Sabres these days, you know? Like, I do not enjoy this at all. It makes me mad and sad. I'm there, though. Like, I'm watching 80 games. Now it's 84, by the way. It's going to be 84. But from this tweet, baseball All-Star break, of course, NFL, NBA, NHL, WNBA has two games tonight on League Pass. Premier League isn't up yet. That's August. Golf is this week. So, well, golf is every week, but this is the final major. Brian Koziol will be on, you know, we'll do it the usual way. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And with this tournament, which is in Northern Ireland, I think, wherever it is in the UK or Great Britain, it's done by, like, when we start the show in the afternoon. It's kind of over for the day. The coverage on Thursday of the Open Championship starts at 1:30 in the morning. Oh, let's go. Is that what I was about to say there? I'm not actually going to be watching that. There's a problem if I'm watching that. 1:30 in the morning. Summer League tonight, Home Run Derby's cool. WNBA. Tuesday, tomorrow, CONMEBOL Copa America Feminina. Okay, that's going to be women. Pretty sure Feminina is going to be women. It's what I'm reading. It doesn't say women, but I'm guessing that means women. Uruguay versus Argentina. That's a good rivalry. I could see myself watching that in here tomorrow, 4:55 p.m., unlike the golf. John Strong, too. He's the best. Yesterday, I was on the road all day and listened to a bunch of baseball broadcasts. And I don't know, this isn't really fair, too broad a brush, but everybody sounds the same. I was really missing John Sterling yesterday. Everybody sounds the same. The one that didn't was the Royals, because I think their announcer has been there for like 50 years or something like that. The Royals guy stood out. But man, every other game I turned on, the announcer could have been the same person. Actually, maybe it was. Maybe now, nobody's at the games. It's just the same AI voice who's up, here's the pitch. I mean, maybe, probably not. Still, I was sensing a bit, like there was a nostalgia piece there that I was missing yesterday. Because I think that used to be different, where the broadcasts had Marty Brenneman. I listened to the Reds. It was somebody I didn't know, and it sounded like every other guy. Then I turned on the Padres. It was used to be Jerry Coleman. It doesn't have to be these guys who are old-timers or dead. Just does it always have to be somebody that seems like they're just like right out of broadcasting school with all the baseball jargon, you know? If you know of somebody that I'm not thinking about for this point, I didn't listen to every game, let me know because I'll look for them. 803-0550 for your calls. I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off this week. Thanks for being with me today. This is WGR.